How many of you know that we are taught in the Word of God to walk in love? Anybody know that? We're taught in the Word of God to walk in love. The greatest victory in our lives will be the result of a love walk. A love walk. The challenge to the love walk is that we live in a very unloving world. I think all of us know that. The even greater challenge to the love walk is that we are not to love in our own strength, but we are to love as Christ loves. When we consider the life of Jesus, we see a manifestation of love. How many of you realize his life is a manifestation of love? Amen? Jesus went to the people who were hurting, the people who were abused, discarded, and broken. That is the ones that he went to. And the Bible declares, 1 John 2:6, that we are to walk even as he walked. So if he was a manifestation of love, and the Bible teaches us 1 John 2:6, then all of us are faced with the love walk. Not to walk in our own love, but in the love of God. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. And I think I read this verse in Ephesians chapter 5 a couple of weeks ago when we started this series on love. And I want to visit it again. It's Ephesians chapter 5, two verses, verse 1 and verse 2. This is what it says. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love. There it is. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. What kind of smell are you putting off? Just some food for thought. I used to, I know football season's over now, and I love the Jim Mora era, because Jim Mora, he just kind of let it roll. And I remember one of those press conferences after they lost to the San Francisco 49ers. And he was on a tirade. And he came out and he said, yeah, in that second half, he said, we just stunk it up. In other words, their performance was not where it should have been. We stunk up the joint. The Bible says that our life can be a sweet-smelling aroma. But many times we might stink up the joint by our attitude, by our thought process, by the words that come out of our mouth. So we are all faced with the love challenge. If we are going to walk in love, Bible says it right here. If we are going to walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, and if our life is going to emit a sweet-smelling aroma, then it can only be done as we connect to divine love. So I want to share some things with you today in that regard. Because the key to your victory is divine love. It's the key. Let me show you another passage of God's Word. I love the first epistle of John. There is so much meat in this epistle. First epistle of John, chapter 4. Listen to this. Verse 7. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now, right there, it plainly tells us the problem with our world. How many of you see that? The world doesn't know God. Amen? Because only those who know God can effectively love. It's only connected to Him. So the key to victory is divine love. Beloved, let us love one another. Love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. There's a lot of people that say they know God. Hello. Are y'all with me? But their actions, their words, their attitude shows quite to the contrary. Listen to what he says next. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Don't get hung up on that word. It simply means sacrifice. He is the sacrifice. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I've always said this. If the world at large does not see the love of God flowing through God's people, where will they see it? Where will they get it? How will they receive it? They can't. See, because the key to victory is divine love. So then it poses the question, what is divine love? Divine love is the very essence of who God is. It is the very nature of His person. The Bible declares that God is love. He is the source and He is the origin of love. We're being taught that right here. Now, all human beings were born with the ability to love to a degree. Jesus elaborated on that point when He gave us the teachings in the Gospel of Matthew. When He said that that if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? He said, even publicans and sinners do that. But if you love those who don't love you, right? I mean, the teachings of Christ were dynamic. I mean, you know, he gave us these incredible challenges in the area of our life and the love of God that is given to you and I as believers. Whosoever believes in the only begotten Son of God, those are the ones that possess eternal life. Those are the ones that have the love of God operating in them. So what is divine love? You know, it's this, what we expounded on it a couple of weeks ago. The agape love. There's several Greek words for the English word love. But the highest word, is that word agape, the unconditional love of God. I mean, you know, that the Bible teaches us that even when we were Christ rejecters, God was not even on our radar, that He loved us with an everlasting love, so much so that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. So all human beings are born with the ability to love to a degree. But we are not created or born with this agape love. You have to be reborn to experience the agape love. Because of sin, we can't love like that. You know, all humans can love to a degree, but we can't love like God loves. So that's why the key to victory is to connect to divine love. We have to connect to it. We may be created by God with the capability to love our family members or those who love us, but the love of God, the agape love, this unconditional love, that is what we must tap into. When we have a spiritual rebirth, we connect to divine love and we become like God. So that's why the scripture says, be imitators of God as dear children. imitators. The key to victory is divine love. Man, how would things change if there was more love flowing in families, flowing in marriages? There would be less divorce if there was love, sacrificial love, flowing in marriages. Very interesting. We go to Ephesians 5, and it teaches us about the role of a husband and the role of a wife. Clearly defined roles. And the Bible says that a man should love his wife even as Christ loved the church. Now think about that. How did he love it? Sacrificially. The sacrificial life of Christ. See, we have to connect to that kind of love. And when we connect to that kind of love, my friends, there is change. There is supernatural change. And it only happens by a spiritual rebirth. You can't love like that without a spiritual rebirth. I can't love like that without a spiritual rebirth. There is no way that we can be imitators of God until we are born again. That's why we declare it, we preach it. You know, every service we talk about it, there must be a spiritual rebirth. A lot of people think all they need to do is go to church and they're going to be all right. Sorry to tell you, it doesn't happen that way. There are people that sit in churches years upon years upon years and never have a spiritual rebirth. They may have a sense of spirituality, but it does not mean that they have had a spiritual rebirth. And that is, man, that's troubling to me. That people would sit in congregations, in churches all over America, and hear the gospel preached and preached and preached, and their life never changes. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Because in our text that we started in Ephesians 5, he's got a lot to say to us. He's got a lot to say to us. So if I'm going to have a love walk, I have to connect to divine love. I have to go beyond my capability to love, and I have to connect to the agape love of God, the unconditional love of God. Hallelujah. So here's the next thing. See, we must understand this. Believers are God's spiritual offspring. So based on the truth and the principle of a spiritual rebirth, and I believe most of us here today have had it. If you have not had it, you can have it before you leave. Because it can happen just like that. That doesn't mean that you're going to instantaneously become Mr. Holy Joe. Because it doesn't happen like that. Amen? But when that divine life comes on the inside of you, then it begins to change you and your mind begins to get renewed. And it's a process of growth and development that begins to take place. There's no magic formula to translate any of us from ungodly lifestyles to godly people of great character. No, that is a work that takes place. That is a process. It's kind of a lost concept, but it's what we used to call the process of sanctification, where God begins to make his people holy, makes them separate. We are separated from the world. If I want to connect to divine love, I have to disassociate myself from things of this world. So that's why I'm very careful of what I allow into my eye gate. That's why I'm very careful about my music selections, because I don't want to be tainted by the things of this world, because I am now a born-again child of God. See, believers are God's spiritual offspring. So the Bible says, be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators of God as dear children. I like this one. First Epistle of John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Look at what he says next. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. So the world is not going to understand you. If you live for Jesus, if you demonstrate the Christ light, the world doesn't get it. Are y'all with me? They don't get it. They don't understand it. It's what Paul said, that the spiritual truths of God, they are only understood to those who have spiritual life. They can't understand that. The natural man, he said it this way, the natural man cannot understand. He cannot comprehend the things of the Spirit. It is impossible. But when the divine life comes on the inside, then you begin to understand. You see things that you never saw before. You understand things that you never understood before. Because there is a divine life that is working on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Believers, born again believers, are God's spiritual offspring. He says, therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Hallelujah. Did not know Him. So that's why they don't understand. They don't get it. So the first step is we have to declare it, live it, manifest it. And people have to connect to the divine love of God. Once they do that, they can be born again. See, when you are born of His Spirit, you become His spiritual offspring. As we develop and grow spiritually, we will begin to imitate the one who gave us new life. Only when you have that on the inside, you begin to imitate. As we gain the Father's heart, we begin to walk in love in the same way that Jesus. How many of you know Jesus had the heart of the Father? Right? He had the heart of the Father. He was always about His Father's business. Even when He was lost in the caravan journey from Jerusalem, His mother and father, earthly mother and father, are looking for Him. And they couldn't find Him. So after 3 days, they go back and they find Him disputing with the doctors and the lawyers. And they chastised Him for that. And He said, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Now, Joseph was His legal father, but we know Joseph was not His biological father because Christ was supernaturally Father. I don't know if this thing is losing juice or not. If you can't hear me and my lips are talking, I'm going to just keep rolling with it. I must be about my Father's business. Jesus had the heart of the Father. Another example, Acts 10:38. It says, and Jesus went about doing good, healing all of those who were oppressed of the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you folks, do we have oppressed people in our world? They're all around us. They're all around us. Oppressed people. People that are oppressed. I mean, that's why they are in bad moods. People are just, they're dealing with all kind of stuff. People are unhappy. I mean, there's all kind of things that are oppressing people today. And they need to be liberated. Jesus had the heart of the Father. He went about doing good, healing all of those who were oppressed of the devil. All right, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk even as He walked. That's what the Bible tells us to do. My friends, you and I should be touching someone's life. We should be ministering to people in our world, not just in the context of the house of God, of the worship service. Because when we go into the grocery stores or we go into Dillard's, that's where I like to shop, praise God. Hallelujah. Menswear 50% off pink merchandise, I'm on the way. But even in those stores, people are oppressed. At Walmart, a lot of oppression. It's all around us. I mean, this young man that, or whatever happened to him to to his psyche, to his soul, that would cause him to go commit such an atrocity? I mean, it's beyond us, but I'll guarantee you this, he doesn't know God. Because the Bible says that Satan is a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he says that Cain was of the wicked one and killed his brother. My friends, the spirit of Cain is all over this world. Murderous intent. People are oppressed of the devil. And you and I, we must be used of God. We must be ministering to people in the world in which we live. They're even in our families. People that need Jesus. Oppressed of the devil. We are his spiritual offspring. It is only his spiritual offspring that can be imitators of God as dear children. My friends, you and I, when Jesus left this world, if you're a born-again child of God, and when Jesus left this world, he put his spirit upon you so that you could be a ministering servant. You are now an extension of who he is. Every Sunday, there should not be enough chairs in this house because we should be ministering to people, bringing them into the house of God, bringing them into the family of God. It's like Jesus said, go into the highways and byways. Compel them to come in so that my Father's house may be full. Hallelujah. I am believing God for a great harvest of souls. I pray all the time, God, pour out of your spirit. Pour out of your spirit. God, pour out of your spirit. Pour out of your spirit in West Point Church. Pour out of your spirit in the city of New Orleans. Pour out of your spirit in this nation. God, pour out of your spirit. Because I believe there is a tremendous harvest of souls that are coming into the kingdom of God before the second coming of Jesus Christ. We must never lose sight of that. He's coming back. Hallelujah. To receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. Thank God that he's coming back. That's why I want to touch as many people as I can. I want to minister to as many people as I can. I want to impact as many people as I can while there is yet time. Jesus gave us that urgency. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, because the night comes when no man can work. What was he talking about? He was talking about the harvest of souls being born into the kingdom of God. There's only a window of opportunity to do that. And when that window closes, my friends, and we enter eternity, then we can't win anybody to Jesus. We have to impact them now. Be imitators of God as dear children. Jesus went about doing good, healing all of those who were oppressed of the devil. See, that's why we got to have the transformation. As a lot of people, they can't get out of their own struggle. Can't break free from the power of sin that is controlling them. My friends, when you come to Jesus, he does not only deliver you from the penalty of sin, he delivers you from the power of sin. That's why I believe he still does it. I'm all for rehabilitation programs and rehab ministries. I'm all for it. But I am here to tell you, he can supernaturally deliver an alcoholic. He can supernaturally deliver a crack addict. He can supernaturally deliver a cocaine addict. He can supernaturally break the bondage of sin in any shape, form, or fashion. And he can do it supernaturally. Hallelujah. And I thank God that one day he reached into my life and broke the power of sin. And my friends, he'll do it for you. Why? Because he's no respecter of persons. What he's done for one, he'll do for another. Amen? What he's done for you, he'll do for someone else. What he's done for me, he'll do it for someone else. Hallelujah. Thank God, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he wants his love dynamic, the love walk. Walk in love. Be a channel, a conduit of the flow of that love, divine love. How can we do it? How can we really have that kind of lifestyle? Well, it brings us to the cross. Because we must understand that Jesus Christ was a sacrificial offering. The greatest manifestation of love was the death of Christ on the cross. That was the greatest manifestation. As Jesus stated in John 15:13, just prior to his crucifixion, he said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." No greater love. No greater love. Guess what word that, guess what Greek word is for that word love? Agape. Unconditional. The very essence of God's nature and character. The agape love. Greater agape love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Do you realize the Bible teaches us that we should be willing to lay down our lives for the brethren, for our brothers and sisters in Christ? I mean, the Bible teaches us that. That we should be willing to do that. How can we ever do that? You can only do it when you are connected to the power of God. Only when you are connected to that divine love who is God Himself. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I want to point out two words going back to our text in Ephesians 5. Because I want you to notice when he says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love." And he's not saying, if he stopped right there, then we would say, well, he's just talking about the capability that all of us were created with to love. You know, we can love our family. We can love our loved ones. Nope, that's not what he's talking about, because he didn't put a period there. He put a comma. When he said, walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. Two things I want to point out here. I want to point out the word sacrifice, because this verse is teaching us that he is a sacrifice and he is a offering. These are two very interesting words. The word sacrifice from this Greek word, thuo, it means the slaying of a victim. The word offering from a Greek word that means a presentation. Jesus allowed himself to be presented as a victim for you and I. Now just let that sink in for just a minute, because that's exactly what the Bible is teaching us. What is a sacrifice? The slaying of a victim. We go back into the Old Testament, we find the illustration of it. They would bring the best of the livestock. There was no spot and no blemish. It was the best. It was a first fruits offering. It could not have any defect. It was the top puppy in the litter. Well, of course they didn't. Some of y'all might understand dog language better. They sacrificed the best, the lamb. That's why Jesus is presented as a lamb, the Lamb of God. Now think of the innocence of a lamb. Who would ever hurt a lamb? I mean, a lamb is very innocent. Jesus is called in Scripture the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But they would bring the sacrifice, a victim. A lamb would become a victim, the slaying of a victim. And then it was an offering, as the Bible says here. He loved us, gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. Jesus allowed himself to be a victim. He accepted our guilt and he paid the price so that we could receive the love of God. Hallelujah. He did it for you, my friends. He did it for me. He taught us that love is a choice with a price. It's a choice with a price. Consider this. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. First and great commandment. Many of you know what it is. What is the first and great commandment? Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, he tells us, you shall love the Lord your God. Direct quote from the Old Testament, book of Deuteronomy. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. How is that even possible? You can't do number two without doing the first commandment. Jesus went on and he said, on these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophet. You must love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. The first and great commandment. And the second one, love your neighbor as yourself. Love is a choice with a price. Hallelujah. When Jesus Christ allowed himself to be presented as a victim for you and I, and he took the guilt upon himself, my friends, we should never, ever, no longer, ever hold on to guilt. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. Everybody's got their story. Everybody's got their testimony. We should never, ever hold on to the guilt because Jesus took it upon himself so that we could receive the love of God. Hallelujah. It is a choice. We have to make a choice. Love is a choice, but there is a price that goes along with it. Jesus demonstrated that. I may not want to go to Walmart at 10 o'clock at night with my wife. Let me rephrase that. I never want to go to Walmart at 10 o'clock at night with my wife. But that's when she thrives. I don't understand it. She's a night owl, I guess. But she'll ask me to go along with her, and I'm like, Josiah, go with your mother to Walmart. And he has relieved me of duty many times. Hallelujah. But out of love, she knows if she really wants me to go, she knows I'm going to go. You know, because that's what love does. How many of you know there's a price? Now, what if it was the Saints and the Vikings? We got this game. Let's go to Walmart. I remember I was still working in the beverage industry as a sales representative. I remember the Saints on a Monday night game played the Dallas Cowboys. This was back in probably 96, maybe. Somewhere in the mid-90s, early 90s. And it was a late game. And the Saints, I mean, they were winning big. And, you know, being the smart and wise Saints fan that I am, I understand. Things happen. And it's never over until it's over. And the next day, I reported to the office, and a lot of the sales representatives, they went to sleep, and they said, wait a minute, we didn't win this game? You mean we lost this game? Yes, there was a comeback. I remember the Oakland Raiders game. Becky was 8 months pregnant with Stephanie, and I'm pushing her up. I'm pushing her up in the Super Monday night game. Archie Manning quarterbacking. We're going back to 1980. 79. Thank you, Paul. Paul works for a TV station. He knows if you need any statistics, he's the man to see. So we're going up the stairs, and we had those $25 seats. I don't even think you can get $25 seats anymore. Can you? I remember the ticket was $25. But we were way up there. Way up there. Becky's 8 months pregnant, 7 months pregnant. I don't know. She's about to deliver. I have, to this day, I don't know why we did that. In high heels. See, it gets even better as you go along. And, the Saints were rolling. It was 35-7 at halftime. I was like, man, we are kicking their tails. And then what was the final score? What was the final score, Paul? 42-35. Not in New Orleans' favor, though. You got to see it through to the end, right? You got to see it through to the end. Sacrifices. See it through to the end. Let me get back on track here. I know sometimes I kind of, I like these sports stories, but let me stay focused. Hallelujah. Listen, let me give you another verse. Can I give you another verse? I want y'all to get this, man. This is so powerful. I want y'all to get this. See, because when Jesus paid it all, when he took it all upon himself, the sacrifice of love, you know, the things that we might do, you know, husbands for their wife. Becky did that, not because she, I don't think she did that for the saints. She did that for me, you know, because I wanted to go. I wanted to, you know, have the experience, and she did that for me. You know, the love has a price. It has a price. And when Jesus paid that price, my friends, he took it all upon himself. Everything. And when you and I make love sacrifices, if we make it for our spouse, if we make it for our children, if we make it for a derelict on the street, doesn't matter. Whoever we make it for, I am here to tell you that God takes notice of it. He takes notice of it. He sees it. And it does, it moves him. It does something to God. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians, I don't think I gave you all this on the notes, so I apologize if I didn't. But it's 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15. Well, let me start in verse 14. He says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. How does he do that? How does he dispense this? He does it because of the triumph in Christ. Jesus took it all. Jesus did it all. Man, that's why if you are in Christ, hallelujah, victory is yours, power is yours, freedom is yours, liberty is yours. And there is something. Your life will begin to emit something. Oh, man, this just moves me. He says, for we are, look at this, verse 15, we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and even among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, meaning that they take notice of your lifestyle, of your representation of Christ, but they still don't come to saving faith. It says to them, it's an aroma that leads to death. But to the others, those that come as a result of your demonstration of love. He says, the aroma that leads to life, and who is sufficient for these things? He says, for we are not as many who peddle the word of God. And there are a lot of the people that peddle the word of God. He says, but we are of sincerity. We are from God, and we speak in the sight of God in Jesus Christ. When we make love sacrifices for other people, we produce a sweet-smelling fragrance to God. Hallelujah. There is a pleasantness that begins to surround the atmosphere of our lives. My friends, I know there's a lot of debate about gun control with all the violence in our nation. And, I do have a gun. I'm not here to make any kind of political statement. And I believe that there's guns in a lot of wrong hands. There's no doubt about that. You know, what is the answer? Is the answer laws? you know, I guess it would help, but it's not gonna solve the problem. And here's the reason why. Because there is a major breakdown in the family unit in the United States of America. A major, major, major breakdown in the family unit. See, and the only thing that can change that, my friends, if you consider the atmosphere in homes today, there's a lot of violence in the home. There's a lot of unloving characteristics in people's homes today. And there's an atmosphere in those homes. Some of those homes are filled with all kind of atmospheric conditions of darkness. But when there is love flowing in a home, there is something that environment produces. And I'm going to say this. There needs to be a man and there needs to be a woman. There are two clearly defined roles in Scripture. And you can't produce effectiveness if there's not a mother and there's not a father. And that's why we have a major, major, major breakdown in the family unit. Because when God designed it, He designed it right. And when it operates according to His design, my, it produces something. And there's a pleasantness. There's an atmosphere. Let me further illustrate. Can I give you another one? Oh, man, I wish I had time to preach all of this stuff today. Let me take you to the Old Testament book of Leviticus. I just got to show you this. Because this is so key. Because we're talking about love that flows. Love in a home. Love in a marriage. Children that are raised in a loving environment. My friends, we don't have enough of it. There is now a very small, small percentage of homes that have a mother and a father raising their children in a loving environment. Very small percentage. And that's why I say there's a major breakdown in the family unit. Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. Notice what God said to the Israelites in these verses. This is so eye-opening. All right, because He tells us this. He says in Leviticus 26, two verses, verse 27, He says, if you don't obey me, but walk contrary to me, He said, I will walk contrary to you in fury. In other words, there's going to be judgment. And then in verse 31, He says, I will lay your cities waste, and I will bring your sanctuaries to desolation, and I will not smell the fragrance of your sweet aromas. Now, this is Old Testament history, but I'm going to give you some interpretation of it. I'm going to give you an exposition of what this is teaching. What this is teaching is that God was telling the Israelites that I have designed it a certain way. And I'm going to say this. In the Old Testament scripture, the mantle of authority and the mantle of spiritual leadership was spoken to the men. And when a man doesn't fulfill his role, God says right here, there's no aroma. Giving you food for thought. I mean, this is Old Testament history. See, we're talking about the atmosphere. The atmosphere. God says that the cities would be waste, the sanctuaries would come to desolation, because there would not be the fragrance of the sweet aroma. In other words, there would be a major lack of the love principle. When the love principle is not in a home, you're going to see anger in young people. You'll see violence in young people. We have many law enforcement officers in this congregation. Some of them are here today. And they'll tell you that the crimes, the most heartless crimes are being committed by teenagers. Those that are in that 15, 16 to 19 age group. The most heartless crimes are being committed. Why are those young men so angry? I mean, this young man just this week, why was he so angry to go to such lengths? I mean, to do these acts of violence. what happened to the inside of him? What was missing? What was lacking? I would love to find out, what was the atmosphere in which he was living his life? Because God said right here, he said that in the sons and the daughters, he said, when they don't obey, if you don't obey me and you walk contrary to me, he said, then this is going to be what happens. It's a simple principle of sowing and reaping. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. Husbands need to invest in their wives if you want to produce a good atmosphere. Husbands need to invest in their sons and daughters if you want to produce the right atmosphere. See, because we're talking about the atmosphere of our lives, and God said, just let that soak in. He said in verse 31 that there would be an absence of the fragrance of a sweet aroma, because there would be an absence of love, an absence of it. Let me give you the last and final thing. And we're going to go back to the text, because, man, listen, the Word of God is the Word of God. And the Word of God does not beat around the bush. It goes straight to the point of the matter. Let me just show you this, and you can let this sink in. I'm giving you food for thought. All right, so he says, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ loved and gave himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication, as sexual vice, sexual immorality, and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. What is saints? Separated ones. That's all it is. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no, listen to what he says now, because this is where a lot of people fall into this category. They fall into this right here. For this you know, no fornicator, unclean person, covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. See, we're talking about a spiritual enlightenment here. The love walk requires spiritual enlightenment. The result of the love walk is a moral and selfless behavior. When we love God and we love people, we will not practice ungodly lifestyles. If you are practicing an ungodly lifestyle, you need Jesus. I don't know any other way to say it. If you name the name of Christ, you should not be running around on your wife. Y'all didn't know preachers address those kind of things, did you? I'm committed to the Word of God. I'm not here to build, you know, a club, a social club. I'm here to give people the Word of God. And when the Word of God goes forth, people have to respond to it. And I'm here to tell you that there must be a change in your behavior. If you name the name of Christ, you should not fall into this category. And what happened in this church at Ephesus, I don't have time to kind of get into this today about the idolatry and the worship of Diana. You know, in the book of Acts, they had goddess worship. You know, and even those folks that were worshiping those entities, those demonic entities, great as Diana of the Ephesians is what they said. So Paul was addressing those very issues. You know what he was addressing? He was addressing that the culture cannot get in you. Hello, somebody. Listen, when you become a child of God, you can't allow the culture to get in you. However you want to define, you can define it in areas of music. You can define it in through the various forms of media. you know, through television, you know, all of those things that surround us. We cannot allow the culture to get in us. We've got to stand in the person of Christ. And at Judgment Day, when every human being will stand before God and have to give an account. You know, I've heard people say, well, Pastor, you know, I stopped going to church today because the people are plastic. I said, really? What does that mean? Well, you know, they're hypocrites. I would say, brother, don't you know that the church is full of hypocrites? I said, we're all hypocrites. You know, because we're all still trying to maintain the Christ life. Nobody is perfect. You know, everybody is still a work in progress. Everybody. We're all striving to be better. We're all striving to be more on fire. We're all striving to be more Christ-like. We have to continuously deal with this body of flesh, this sinful nature that wants to do what it wants to do. It's driven by lust. It's driven by sin. We have to fight that fight every day. Even the great Apostle Paul, he said that I buffet my body daily. I think the word is buffet. Oh, my. And I didn't even mean to do that. Is it lunchtime? That must be what it is. Let me finish. Folks, listen, the Word of God is the Word of God. And we have to respond to the Word of God. And when we respond to it, and when we began to live according to it. See, man, when I became born again, you know, all the guys that I used to run with, I understood what Peter said. He said, they're going to think it's strange that you don't run with them and do what they do anymore. They're going to think it's strange. You know, listen, they might call you a Jesus freak. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Yeah, you might call me a Jesus freak, but then my response is, whose freak are you? Come on, somebody. Right? Call me what you want. It don't matter. Call me mentally ill if you want. It don't matter. I know who I have believed in, and I am fully persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. So my God, so when judgment comes, the one who took my shame and took my guilt, the one who became my sacrifice and He became my offering, it is in Christ and in Christ alone that I will stand before God as a born again child of God. And I will say, my kinsman redeemer has made me an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And I want to touch as many people as I can while there is yet time.